Welcome to Tell the People with your host, Heather Robinson. Each week, I'll be exploring interesting topics with people who are change makers in the world. If you have a desire to learn like I do, then tune in, be enlightened, raise your awareness, and just have fun. Come on, listen as my guests tell the people all about what sets their soul on fire as they lead and inspire others. Hi, and welcome to Tell the People with Heather Robinson. And my guest today is Sampriti Ireland, an amazing astrologer who is going to talk with us today about the Pluto return in February of 2022. Good morning, Sampriti.
Good morning, Heather. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for reminding me that I invited you.
Mercury retrograde, man.
Yeah. People get on podcasts and they're like, this sounds so good. And everything is scheduled. And minutes before we start recording this, Sampriti sends a text and said, okay, I'm ready. I'm like, for what? Oh my gosh. Hello, retrograde. Hello, new moon. Hello, everything. I'm just like, I knew I was forgetting something and this was it. So,
but you were ready, man, on the point.
Well, I've got Pluto prominently in my chart. So yeah, so that will segue into it's time to just let go and change. But tell us about this Pluto return that is going to be historic and momentous for everybody.
I would love to. So this is specifically a Pluto return for the United States of America. And to go into a little bit of the verbiage of what we're really talking about, a return is when a planet comes around to the astrological placement where it was when the person was born, like in their natal chart. We all experience the Saturn returns, which is, you know, they've been getting a lot of media lately. And the Pluto return is for the United States. So it takes Pluto, you know, over 200, you know, close to 250 years to go all the way around the solar system and come back to its spot. And so for the United States, we create the quote unquote natal chart for the United States is agreed as July 4th, 1776, when famously signed the Declaration of Independence. And so at that point, Pluto was 27 degrees and 33 minutes Capricorn. And we hit that point again, or Pluto hits that point again in a few weeks. You and I are recording this last day of January in 2022. And in the wee hours of the morning on February 21st, 2022, about 2:45 a.m., Pluto will be hitting 27 degrees, 33 minutes once more. And so what returns mean, whether it's a Saturn return or a solar return, right? We all mm-hmm. have solar returns with our birthdays or around our birthdays, the older we get. And it is a time of really, really deeply experienced finishing. It is a return to the spot where we began this journey. So there are many emotions happening and connected to returns. There are ones of simultaneous recognition that you're in this spot again, but almost just as powerfully, if not, you know, more powerfully, a recognition of how you're different. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm in the same spot, but I'm also, look at how much has happened since the last time that I was here. And so we tend to, like, particularly with Saturn returns, that's much more accessible to folks than Pluto returns, because none of us really lived through Pluto returns. Yet we don't live that long yet. So with Saturn return, it's Saturn is the it's the holder, the frequency holder of our truth of what it is to be here in this human body and how the world works and what is true for our soul on a broader level. And so every 27, 28, 29 years, Saturn comes back around and says, okay, are you living your truth? And that's not necessarily going to be a yes for absolutely everything in our lives. So part of that functionality is all of the areas where we have been unconsciously or subconsciously not living our soul's truth, not demanding that our lives manifest what our soul signed up for. Saturn gets to kick us back into play. Saturn reminds us of that. And we get to choose varying degrees of resistance, right, to that force. So with Pluto in especially in evolutionary astrology, Pluto is described as the soul, and in more, Western astrology and kind of pop culture astrology, it is it's described as the unconscious and the subconscious. And so the underworld. So all of these things that aren't necessarily easy for us to access, but that hold our deepest roots, hold our most unseen, and therefore we could say primal functionality. And so every time, when a Pluto return happens, it's calling to the carpet. It's a reckoning for this entity. In the deepest way, calling us back to our soul and giving us opportunity to answer and to reckon with all of the choices that we have made in that time. And for the United States, I think we'd be hard put to find somebody who would disagree with the statement that the United States, all of us as Americans, and of course as more global citizens than we've ever been, now more than ever, we're in this deep, deep, deep experience of reckoning, of having to answer for choices made. And since this is happening in the sign of Capricorn, Capricorn is the builder of the zodiac. Capricorn is the patriarch of the zodiac. And Capricorn right now is getting a lot of bad rap right now because simply because we are in this Pluto return, right? We are meant to see all that is outdated, all that is outmoded, all that is ready to be done. We are ready to let go of what this particular sign, this particular archetype has to offer. And so we're in the sick and tired phase of like, come on, let's just get to the next chapter. We're bored with this. So with Capricorn, that is all specifically, what are the structures, the processes, the bones, the big buildings, the corporations, all of these giant structures that hold so much work, right? So much of our lives. They are ready to crumble because the new is here. And it's particularly we feel it particularly deeply right now or consciously because the sun right now is in Aquarius. And we have, Mercury has entered into Aquarius before, he went retrograde. Saturn's been in Aquarius. We started really feeling this when Saturn and Jupiter entered Aquarius in December. Winter solstice of 2020, oh my goodness, 2020, right? Yes, 2020. We've lived lifetimes since then.
Gosh, I know.
So we have this very real felt experience of recognizing that the new world is here, but ha also having to reckon with the structures of the old world that we have to clean up, right? That we have to continue to dismantle. Heal, there is healing yet to be done. And that is that I feel is really what this US Pluto return is. It's like a kickoff. My experience, my particular experience of this, of it's a kickoff, a beginning of us as Americans in particular, as global citizens in general, of having to start the cleanup process in earnest, and the healing process in earnest before Pluto says goodbye to Capricorn, for, you know, the next 200 some odd years, in a few years, because Pluto will be returning or will be moving into Aquarius, next year for like a little bit, and then for good, a year and a half after. That is,
it just makes me want to hold my breath for a minute.
Yes.
I'm just like, what's coming? I am such a
experience.
Yeah. I thank you for the view from a million feet from the cosmos. And what comes to mind, and because my birthday is July 4th, so I've seen some parallels that through my life, not that my birthday is 1776, not this go around the sun, but I have seen parallels with that July 4th, that Pluto aspect, with years that the country is under great change or pressure to change or turmoil. My life, now that I've got, you know, several decades under my belt, I look back and go, gosh, that was a game changer year for me too. I was really called to the carpet, or I had to step into what my soul wanted. I had to rebel from the norm in some aspects, or there were times I didn't and I paid the price later. And so what, for those who need a little history revision, when we talk about 250-year Pluto return, this was the time of the American Revolutionary War. So let's go back to middle school history. I love thinking about countries as students, right? Or as an age. And we think about America, like 250 years feels like a really long time when you only live, you know, 80, 90, 100. But we're a really young country. I mean, we are a young country based on Britain, or, you know, the UK, or Italy, or Spain, or Japan, or countries in Africa, like the organization of our country, the civilized life of our country, I guess, is very young. And I started thinking about America when we go out and we police the world. We do a lot. I mean, we have become a global citizen in a big way. Like, we're kind of in charge of a lot of stuff. But when I look at the age and the maturity, and maturity meaning shelf life, but also mindset, it's like letting it, compared to the other maturity of other cultures, it's like letting a 6 or 7 year old run the family. I mean, it's
very,
you know,
much so.
Would I let my nephew, who is, you know, an elementary school student, make decisions for the whole, is he the patriarch of the family? Like, no, he's not. He doesn't have enough experience. And so, you know, we're being called to look again at death and rebirth. Look at, okay, who's been driving the train? Has it been a 7 year old? who's been driving the train? And this is a time, I hear David Bowie like, rebel, rebel. You talk.
Yes.
I'm hearing rebellion. And during this Pluto aspect, 2 centuries plus ago, was the advent of the Revolutionary War. The Revolutionary War began April 1775 and lasted until September 1783. It was known as the War for Independence against Great Britain. And the fighting began, was followed very shortly. So that started in April. And then in July is when they formed the Declaration of Independence. And we said, line in the sand, this is what's happening. And I look at all the change that potentially could come from this revolutionary energy. And every great things came from it. We have to reevaluate you know, I also hear, you know, give me liberty or give me death. And for those of you who need a quick review, I do think like the seven-year-old sometimes. And so Google Schoolhouse Rock, Revolutionary War, and you'll get, you know, you'll get the Boston Tea Party, and you'll get the Declaration of Independence and the spirit of 1776. You'll get a quick history of that. But knowing that that's come, knowing that the potential for this is there, we are not the forebearers of doom. But the potential for great change. And I love what you said about we're here again. This is a return, and we're not returning without any insight or experience. We're returning with the eyes on, okay, if we're smart, if we're going to level up from that elementary school student now to a middle school student, right, in the world,
right,
on the world stage, let's review what we learned in elementary school over the last 200 years when we stuck this line in the sand on July 4, 1776. What have we learned about how to play with our neighbors in the world? Like, do we run in somebody else's backyard and set their dog free? Do we go to their house and open the door without being invited in? A seven-year-old might. We don't, you know, a seven-year-old doesn't really know boundaries.
And we can look to other placements in the chart to kind of get a peek into what else, you know, the other areas or the areas of our experience, the areas of our lives collectively are going to be affected. So I'm looking at the chart right now of not just the Pluto return, but also the natal chart of the U.S. And we're also having an experience of a Chiron return. Now, Chiron was not, quote unquote, discovered until 1977. So nobody looking up into the sky that we know of in 1776, you know, Philadelphia knew that Chiron was there or was aware of it. But what we do know now, looking back, is that Chiron is in Aries right now. Chiron was 20 degrees Aries. Then it's going to be 10 degrees Aries, on the 22nd of February during, or on the 21st of February, rather, during the return. And what this means is that we are, our soul, the soul of the collective, the soul of the nation, the soul of the globe, is experiencing similar themes around self-care, around taking up, honoring the care, the wounds and the healing of the self first. You know, it's that time. Aries is that time in the zodiac, that time in our chart where we bring the vision back to us, and where that is not selfish, right? It is not, yes, it's self-centered, but that's because nothing else would exist without us. You know, our experience is just a reflection of our central self. So revisiting themes of self-care, revisiting themes of honoring the self before the needs of the self above the needs of the many. And interestingly enough, all of this is happening when, you know, Saturn remains in Aquarius. At that point, Mercury is going to be in Aquarius again. And the Sun will have moved into Pisces to join Jupiter and Neptune. So we have that self-care Aries being experienced on top of a lot of collective care. Aquarius and Pisces, they're the most zoomed out signs available in the zodiac, where our vision is everywhere. So it's not from this place, this Chiron and Aries energy isn't from this place of me, 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 period. It's me, 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 because if I am not whole, then nobody is whole. And I am here for the collective. I am here to do the Pisces healing and to experience, in order to usher in this three, you know, the 3D nuts and bolts world of Aquarius and of Pisces, then I need to heal this within myself. And then the moon is going to be in Libra And the moon is almost exactly, it's going to be 29 degrees Libra on the 21st of February. And it's almost exactly squaring the Pluto, Pluto itself. So Pluto's 27 degrees, moon is 29 degrees Libra. And the US, the natal chart is Libra rising. And so there's going to be, as we're all experiencing now, there's a great calling of maturation within relationship. Mm-hmm. And I find that it's been very, you know, it's been great. It's been very convenient that we have all just moved out of a Venus retrograde right. in Capricorn, where Venus started it out conjunct Pluto. So there's no, like, we, from here on out, as soon as like Venus went direct a day or two ago, up until this Pluto return, and of course through the Pluto return, these are times to be very awake and alert to all of the healing that you were doing during the Venus retrograde, all of the aha moments, all of the things that were probably pretty difficult and not comfortable to bring to your awareness and to focus on. These are all treasures that will directly help us with the more uncomfortable parts of this return as it plays out. Does that make sense?
Ooh, I love that. I love bringing it back to the, it wasn't the challenge. Well, the introspection and the reveals were the treasure. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 And the sequence that it played out, like we've had a major year of almost year of retrogrades, where literally like everything that could go retrograde went retrograde from April 2021 to now we're experiencing the very last little guy, the Mercury, finishing up his retrograde in the fall, in the next week. So by the time we hit, you know, February 21st, we will have been receiving almost unprecedented amounts of gifts and of treasure and of awareness from the underworld. You know, we went retrograde so that we could go be with it, so that we could give it space. And now that things are, you know, everything's pretty much direct with the exception of Mercury, it will begin to come into very, very bright awareness and very, very bright consciousness as its healed self, right? Mm-hmm. We're being given the tools that we need for all of the questions that are now and all of the questions that are to come.
It sounds like a lot.
Yes, it sounds like a lot.
And we've had a lot. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. But knowledge is power. Knowledge is
and
healing.
Experience yes. is yes. power. Like Heather, how many times in the last 2 years now have you watched yourself pivot? Like watched yourself come up against a something that was standing in your way, and you've either pivoted or you've moved through it or you've let it go. But either way, you've developed incredible resilience or incredible awareness of resilience. And creativity, right?
Oh gosh, yeah. But I don't know. Maybe it's Pluto. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know. But I tell my friends, I'm like, can I just have 6 months where everything is the same? Like just 6 months in my whole life. Could just 6 months be kind of boring? And the answer, you know, my angels and guides and my zodiac chart goes, that's not what you signed up for, honey.
So, but that Cancer sun, man, that I Cancer know. Sun is just dying to like be at rest and have a home and feel safe.
Can I just be the same Heather for 6 months in a row? But it, you know, it's, we have to embrace the change. And with each change is it's a level up. It's, you know, the pivot feels like a, oh God, but then the outcome is a level up and going back to before the pivot is unthinkable. Like, whoop, nope, can't do that again.
It literally can't hold space for that. It's,
right.
And that's what I think we're all becoming a little bit shocked at how uncomfortable, like, or how truly impossible it is to go back. It's almost like that world doesn't exist anymore for a lot of folks. And then for the folks where there are more karmic ties to the past, there are more things yet to be done for them, more healing yet to be done for them, more connections with the past. That's what these next 2 years are really for. And especially as we talked about in the nodes episode, the next year and a half is letting giving people space and time and opportunity to heal and to let go. And that specific healing that happens when we are made to, you know, when we are forced to let go, whether by external forcing or by internal choice. So we're getting, and there is, yes, this is Pluto. Yes, it's a big return. I am shocked at the amount of optimism that I have around this, especially when it comes to like South Node Scorpio. There is, and my optimism doesn't lie in attachment to how this is going to play out or how it's not going to play out. I feel very sobered about the reality that we're living in very tumultuous times. But there's a bigger part of me that's becoming bigger. It didn't used to be, but it's becoming a bigger part of me that is, well, no matter what, I know what is true for me. I know what is true for me. And I think the more that people can dive in to their truth, which this is what North Node Gemini, South Node Sag is all about, really dive into the truth that only applies to them and letting other people hold their truth. Without having it, you know, it having to creep into to theirs.
Go ahead. I have been really amazed about watching people wake up to it's time. Like, I don't know where their Pluto is in their chart. I don't know where their Chiron is in their chart. Some people, you know, my friends. If you're my friend and we text every week, know that I have a file on you. And so that when you call me and go, I don't know what's happening, I do look at these things. You know who you are. You're the ones on speed dial. And so I go, oh, her Pluto's getting triggered. Okay, let's go. But just really during this Venus retrograde, how many, just in general conversation, folks that I know are saying, coming out with childhood truths that they've buried, hurts and hangups, situations, familial beliefs, structure, a lot around the patriarchy, in their soul group, and are literally saying, it's time for me to look at this and heal it. I can't carry it anymore. And I've had some great conversations with people who I had no clue what the underlying, what the underworld was, what the fundamental foundation of their lives that created this turmoil, and knowing and being a trusted person that they say, honestly, this is what happened. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect time for you to pull it out, look at it and heal it and not go back. Like, this is the greatest time. And it's so beautiful to watch them come to that without being dragged to it. It's time.
Yes, I agree. And that is what's really coming back for me, especially the last couple of days, is it's the right place. It's the right time. And that's a very Taurus, you know, Taurus North Node statement, as far as I experience it, because it's this reclamation of self-worth that does not involve anything external. It is completely inherent. It is, I trust myself to be in the right place in the right time. No matter what is going on out there, I trust myself that I have the resources that I need to, and that I desire to help me through this time. And so over the next couple of weeks to months, I think we're going to be engaging in environments that have the opportunity to carry a lot more questions than answers. And the more that, what I love about this moment right now is with Sun in Aquarius and with Mercury doing that little jaunt into Aquarius before he went retrograde and then back into Aquarius, is these are the curiosity. When we are met with questions, when we are met with the unknown, we meet it with curiosity of Aquarius. And Aquarius is all about, and especially Mercury, is all about asking questions and asking questions from a place of inherent genius, right? I know just because I have questions, just because I am confronting the unknown, doesn't mean I don't also possess the answers. I just have to ask them. I have to communicate them. I have to engage the world around me to help me out with this. So that's kind of my call to folks who are feeling, you know, especially kind of underworld, and getting naturally triggered with the presence of more and more and more questions and greater shifts into the unknown, is that you dive into your curiosity. Dive into your heart's desire. That's all this time with Venus and Capricorn, and Venus retrograde in Capricorn was us getting real with our heart's desire and how we can build a world based on our hearts and soul's desire. What more do we need at the threshold, the beginning of the new world? That's all we need, is we need our desires so we can then, you know, present them to the universe so that we can co-create this reality together.
Right, right. I mean, I may be quoting out of term, isn't it in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident? Like, yes. We have to know within ourselves first. These are the inalienable rights for me. And if you align with me, then we go forward. If you don't, I'm going to, not in a warlike way, I'm going to let you do your thing. I'm going to honor your path but we hold these truths. We have to know and to lean into I call it the divine inspiration like you said, the search for curiosity, I don't know why, but I have to know about this now. I don't know why. And I'm feeling that as well with in the collective. It's I don't know why, but I've just always wanted to learn about this. I'm like, do it. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know what the ripple effect is.
Yeah.
I'm all about music. There's a Rufus Wainwright whom I just love Rufus. Rufus has healed my Pluto sore spots for many, many years. But there's a song, it's called I Don't Know What It Is. And he goes, I don't know what it is, but I got to do it. I don't know where to go, but I got to be there. And that's, you know, it's just button up your soul, zip up your solar plexus and stir up your courage and just be curious. Just do it. And if you go into the direction of your dreams and it turns out to be something, then it's all the experience. You were supposed to go that direction, but be in the change.
Yes. And be ready for the clarity, because it is coming and it will come. We've got so many things moving into Aquarius and back into Aquarius. And then finally, about a week from now, week and a half from now, Mars and Venus will move into Aquarius, and it will just feel like things still feel pretty Capricorn-y and retrograde-y right now. And things will feel more forward and outward and expansive, even, you know, before this return hits. And so just trust that we have all been doing exactly what we have been needing to do in order to have the tools that we will need in the next weeks to months to years, and that we are fully prepared for in the moment, and we will always be fully prepared.
Yes. And thanks for the bringing it back to Aquarius. I was going down my curiosity rabbit hole this morning, mm-hmm. and found some information on Aquarius. And I had not researched this before. And Aquarius is an air sign, right? But it's, everybody thinks aqua, Aquarius, and it's the image of a person. I think it's an androgynous person, sometimes a woman, sometimes, I mean, when they started making these zodiac images, everybody had long hair. So do we know? I don't know. But very angelic person carrying water and pouring water out of a vessel. And I had never run across this information that Aquarius is the water bearer. What I wrote down was I found the water bearer knew something was missing. He followed the guidance of his heart on a spiritual quest, and he found the water. He brought it back to the community. The water would help the community thrive, and that was the blessing. And this is your story too with the new moon. Like, how are you being called on this hero's journey? You don't know what you're going for. I don't know what I'm supposed to get. I just know that whatever I get, when I bring it back to my community, and community can be, you know, just your one-to-one person partnership or your family or your sphere of influence. But the knowledge, the gift that you bring back helps the community thrive. And it's all in the journey of, I don't know what it is, but I got to go there. I don't know where I'm going, but I got to go. And that's the Aquarius.
That's beautiful. And there's the tag words, in EA are sharing, caring, and inclusion. And so Aquarius can get, Aquarius is very pulled back as far as very objective. It's very easy for Aquarius to be objective, and because it can see everything and it knows exactly what is needed. It's like the lifeguard. But the more that the heart comes into Aquarius when the community is considered. Aquarians and Aquarius is at their most joyful when they are living in collaboration with others that share their values.
Yeah.
So we are
the humanitarian. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. And the salesperson. Every Aquarius that I know is an amazing salesperson because they know what you need and they know why you need it. And you haven't even figured out why you need that thing, but every Aquarius person I know is the best salesperson. Like they will caretake you across the finish line. Amazing team player.
They're so good because you're never getting like a needy vibe from them. You're never going to get like a desperate vibe from them because they can be very objective, but they will absolutely take care of you. Well, the US's natal chart, our moon is in Aquarius. It's 24 degrees Aquarius. Uh-huh. So not surprising there.
Yeah. Total Aquarius is integrity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Wonderful. Wow. Well, I feel really excited about the Pluto return now. I feel excited about February and Aquarius season that we are swimming in. And I feel excited about the new moon. I feel excited about Mercury going direct. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, I know. And we just got to roll with the punches. Yeah. And I look forward to talking to you again another time about the Taurus and Scorpio North Node, and how this plays into this. In a bigger way into this era of change that we're fortunate to be on the planet at this time. We are living this is some major history coming to fore. Yeah.
I'm very excited and I'm glad you're excited. And that's just my wish. And if folks, you know, we're all feeling our feelings. It's a responsibility to feel our feelings. And so if there are a lot of there is access to the underworld that there wasn't, the subconscious that there wasn't before. So for anybody who is going through like some deep thoughts and some maybe some thoughts with a lot of fear, you know, feel your feelings, get your community, collaborate, and know that feelings hold a lot of wisdom, but they are not something that we have to identify with permanently. They will pass, and there is optimism and there is excitement and anticipation on the other side because there's liberation. So thank you so much, Heather.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Sampriti. And until next time, just keep watching the stars for us so you can keep us pointing pointing our compass in the right direction.
With literally my pleasure.
Yes, with positivity. Yes. And accuracy. Thank you. So, thanks so much. Okay.
If you'd like to be a guest on Tell the People, then contact me at wellhelloheather@gmail.com. I'll look forward to talking to you.